Amen. God's good, isn't he, church? Amen. You know, the Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Hey, God is good, isn't he, church? Amen. You know, next month, we're heading into November, a month where we pause and we do Thanksgiving. You know, the world wants to jump over Thanksgiving, but we as Christians better be careful we don't, because we are called to be a thankful people. And if we serve a good God and we are called to be a thankful people, it ought to be a great reality in our lives. This thankfulness, this heart of gratitude. So here's what I want to do this morning before we get into the Word of God. God is good, amen? Amen. And we recognize that all the good things in our lives come from Him. So I want to pull a David Weirich if I could, and I want you to find your neighbor. So everybody go ahead and find your neighbor, make eye contact. It's okay. Some people are trying, but in some cases, people don't want to make eye contact with the person next to them. Everybody find, make eye contact with somebody. And I want to practice this thankful praise of gratitude. So in just a moment, that person you made eye contact with, I want you to go back and forth, and I want you to each give something that you are indeed grateful for. Because understanding every good thing in our life comes from God, our gratitude is in essence praise to the Lord. So, church, are we ready? All right, let's find somebody and give them something that we are grateful for this morning. Go ahead. You at home, do the same thing. You're not off the hook just because you're watching on Facebook. Put it there in the comments if you want. Hey, we serve a good God, don't we, church? We serve a good God, don't we, church? You know what? You watch the news, and you don't hear a lot about the good things of God. But we would do well to turn off the news many times and to tune our hearts in to the blessings that God is giving. We are in Joshua chapter 1 for just a few moments this morning, looking forward to all that the Lord has for us in His Word. Joshua's name means Jehovah is salvation. And Joshua in his life experienced the truth of his name. Joshua, if you know his story, Joshua started as a slave in Egypt. And there as a slave in Egypt, he saw the mighty deliverance that God worked through Moses. He saw the plagues that came. He saw the deliverance of God's people out of Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, the collapse of the Red Sea back on the Egyptian army. And Joshua started as a slave. But as a slave who found deliverance in the Lord, Joshua became a sojourner. And Joshua wandered in the wilderness as a sojourner for those 40 plus years. And as a sojourner, he saw the great hand of God on his behalf. He saw the bitter waters turn sweet. He saw waters pour from the rock. He saw manna appear from heaven each and every day. He saw the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night to direct God's people. He saw that their sandals and their clothes didn't wear out. Joshua the sojourner saw the great hand of God as he wandered in the wilderness. There as a sojourner, Joshua also served as Moses' servant. There as a sojourner in the wilderness, Joshua also served as a soldier for the Lord, fighting the battles that the children of Israel would face in those days. Joshua the slave became Joshua the sojourner, became Joshua the servant, Joshua the soldier. And then as they approached the promised land, he became Joshua the spy. You'll remember there in the book of Numbers how they sent out 12 to spy the land of Canaan. And most of you will remember how the account went. 10 of the 12 came back and said, "The land is wonderful, but we can't do it." Because you see, the 10 who went, they went and they looked up and they saw giants. And then they kept looking up and they saw walls. And then they said to themselves, "We can't do this. We can't do this." So 10 came back and said, "No way." But Joshua and Caleb, 2, came back and said, "Oh, yes, we can." Because you see, where 10 looked up and saw giants and then looked farther and saw walls, Joshua and Caleb kept looking up and saw the Lord God Almighty and understood that if God has called us to it, God will see us through it. That if God be for us, who can be against us? And so Joshua the slave, the sojourner, the servant, the soldier, the spy. But as we come to the book of Joshua, we find that Joshua's role is changing once again, and Joshua is now becoming the successor of Moses. You see, God had been preparing Joshua for this task all along. But here the Lord begins to reveal that which he is going to have Joshua do for the rest of his life, leading the children of Israel to possess the promised land. And the Lord begins to reveal the sure strategy that Israel would need to succeed in the task before them. Joshua would have to be strong. Joshua would have to be confident, courageous, and clear on what God had called him to be and do, or else they would surely fail. You see, in verse number 6, verse number 7, and verse number 9, over and over and over again, the Lord implores Joshua to be strong and of a good courage. Because too much was at stake for Joshua to do it any other way than God's way. And church, hear me, too much is at stake for you and I to try to live this life any other way than God's way. The good news this morning is that God's will done God's way never fails. God's will done God's way never fails. And I'm going to tell you, church, for the sake of the lost in our communities, for the sake of our families, for the sake of our joy and our peace and our purpose, we must be strong in the Lord. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong in what God has given us. Be strong in those things that just don't fail or change. Be strong. Be strong. You know, the problem comes because you and I, while inwardly I think we desire to be strong, we outwardly, we're kind of drawn to all the things happening around us. We're kind of a gimmicky people. We are given to fads. You know, I think about the fads of the culture that have elapsed in my lifetime and the time that was just before my lifetime. You think about parachute pants. You know, before me, they didn't have enough material in the pants that they wore to make a onesie for a baby. During my growing up, they had enough material in their pants to fit the entire U.S. Army. And now today, we're back to having not enough material in the things that we wear to fit somebody normally. I think about who's still collecting Beanie Babies. Who's still wearing rat tails? You know, that was the thing when I was in elementary school. The cool kids wore rat tails. I've never understood that. Never have. You know, I think about our kids today. And I think about how they're going to look at themselves one day and shake their heads in disgust because they have all those videos of them doing that little flossing dance. And they're going to think, what was wrong with me? They are. They are. You know, our culture is given to fads, but if we're not careful, Christian fads are just as silly and just as fleeting. You know, we come sometimes to the Lord. We come looking for some new thing. We come looking for some better program or procedure, some new thing that's going to fix all our problems. When the reality is that we as a church and we as Christians don't need fleeting fads. We simply need to get back to God's firm foundation. And we need to be strong and we need to be confident and we need to be clear and we need to be courageous on that which God has given that just doesn't fail. Because God's will, God done God's way, never fails. And here in the book of Joshua, the Lord lays out for Joshua those things that Joshua needs to be strong and courageous in. And that you and I need to be strong and courageous in as well. Would you look with me this morning as we begin our study verses 1 through 4. Bible says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. So what did Joshua need to be strong in? What do you and I need to be strong in our Christian lives? Roman numeral number 1, if you're taking notes, we need to be strong in God's mission. We need to be strong in his mission. Because God's plan will not fail. God's plan will not fail. You know, as Joshua and the children of Israel prepared to go into the promised land, we understand this was not a new thing. Know that God had ordained hundreds of years before this passage that his people would possess this land. You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 12 and other passages. We'll look at verses 1 through 3 here. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. That was this land right here, the promised land, Canaan land. And he told Abram, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God had ordained hundreds of years before this passage that his people would inhabit this land. The men that God had used had changed over time. You see, God had used Abram. God had used Jacob. God had used Isaac. God had used the 12 sons, the tribes. God had used Moses. The men that God had used had changed, but the mission that God had stated had not. You see, God's plan will not fail. And though Moses, his servant, was dead, the work that God intends to do goes on. And I love to see how God, as God revealed his plan here to Joshua, he reminded Joshua of both the faithful promises that he had given and the full potential that he had established. He told Joshua that, as I said unto Moses, the same thing, the same plan, the same promises that I was doing unto Moses, he said, I will do unto you. And as he gives the boundaries of the land here that the people would possess, it was the full potential that God had ordained for his people. God buries men, but God builds his mission. It's not about men, it's about his mission. God's mission doesn't end with men, and God's mission doesn't end with our methods. God's mission cannot fail. And the great reality is, true, church, we make no mistake when we give ourselves to that which God has promised to advance. You know, what did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18? He told Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We make no mistake when we give ourselves to be strong in his mission, when we give ourselves to help build what he has promised to advance. We make no mistake when we give ourselves to that which he has promised to bless. You know, the problem comes when you and I, when we shrink down our lives to personalities or personal interests. That's where our problems arise. When we shrink down our lives to personalities or personal interests. You see, because on the matter of personalities, it's not about me, and it's not about you, it's about him. You know, I remember 4.5 years ago when Pastor Lewis retired, became pastor emeritus, and I became senior pastor, and the whole sentiment of that day was, the one who's really, the one to whom the church belongs hasn't changed. Because it is the Lord's church. It is the Lord's church. It's not Alan Holmes' church. It never was James Lewis' church. It is the Lord Jesus Christ's church. And it's not about personalities. And I'm going to tell you, so often the troubles we find and the friction that we face, it's about personalities. And sometimes the termites in that wall won't even fellowship with the termites in that wall, much less the people in the pews. But it's not about us. It's about him. It's about him. It's not about personalities. It's not about personal interests. It's about so much more than me and you. It's about the glory of the Lord. Oh, as Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's about him. And church, God's will, done God's way, cannot fail. You know what you and I need to decide? We need to decide that even in the chaos of this world, what's going to happen with COVID? I don't know. What's going to happen in Washington? I don't know. What's going to happen in the stock market? I don't know. But guess what? What happens with COVID and what happens in Washington and what happens in the stock market doesn't really affect the brass tacks of what God has called us to do. And we've got to decide that we are going to go forward with the mission that God has given. Press toward the mark, as Paul wrote. And church, keep it simple. What has God called us to? Well, as we established, he's called us to exalt the Savior, to lift up Jesus. He must increase. Hey, pretty simple, right? Lift up Jesus. He's called us to exalt the Savior. Say it with me. What has he called us to? He's called us to exalt the Savior. Say it again. He's called us to exalt the Savior. One more time. He's called us to exalt the Savior. Hey, and in doing that, one of the things he's given us to do is to edify or build up the saints. That's kind of what church is about. We exalt the Savior and we build up one another. Simple enough, right? Keep it simple. What are we called to do? Number one, we're called to. Number two, we're called to edify the saints. So we move outside the church walls, exalt the Savior, edify the saints, evangelize the sinner. Because you see, there are many who are lost and dying, who need to know that Jesus saves. Who need to know that Jesus saves. And so let's keep it really simple. What are we doing? We are exalting the Savior. What are we doing? We are edifying the saint. What are we doing? We are evangelizing the sinner. What are we doing, church? We are exalting the Savior, edifying the saints, evangelizing the sinner. Say it with me this morning. We need to get it down. We are exalting the Savior. We are edifying the saints. We are evangelizing sinners. One more time. Exalting the, edifying the, evangelizing sinners. That's a simple little summary of the mission God has given us. You know, what if we worked it into everything we do? You know, what if we showed up to church this morning and said, you know what, this morning I'm going to exalt the Savior. If I'm here for nothing else, I'm going to lift up Jesus. I'm going to lift up Jesus and exalt the Savior in the way I sing and in the way I respond to his word. I'm going to exalt the Savior. And you know what, if God gives me opportunity, I'm going to edify the saints. I'm going to find somebody around me. I'm going to shake their hand or smile at them, and I'm going to build them up in the Lord. And you know what, maybe, just maybe, God's going to bring somebody to the house of God this morning who needs to hear that Jesus saves. And Lord, I would love to meet that person and help be a part of drawing them to the cross. What if we came to church that way? Whew, would it change how we came to church? Man, what if we parented that way? And said, as God has entrusted me with these souls, I'm going to exalt the Savior. If I don't do anything else in this little life, I'm going to exalt the Savior. You know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to edify the saints. I'm going to build them up and teach them how to build up others. And you know what? Evangelize the lost. Because you know, each little soul that's given to us is not given to us in righteousness. Each little soul that's given to us inherits our sin nature and is born lost. What if we parented that way? What if we went to work that way? You know, you got to get up tomorrow morning, go to the office. You got to get up tomorrow morning and you got to go to the factory. Maybe you got to go tonight. And what if we said, you know what, I'm going to go to work. I'm going to keep it real simple. And I'm going to edify the, and I'm going to evangelize the sinner. Boy, I'm going to tell you, if we just simplified it and decided, I'm going to go forward in the mission that God has given and work it into everything I do, whew, it would change the way we live. What if we did it with our leisure?
exalt the Savior, edify the saint, evangelize the sinner. Just decide that we are going to go forward in the mission that God has given. We are going to be strong, be strong, be strong in the mission that God has given. Decide that we're going to go forward in the mission God has given. Decide that we're going to go forward to live in the promises of God until we realize the full potential He has provided. Here's the thing. The stock market can and will fail. Here's the thing. We as parents, we put our kids in sports. They can and will fail. Chances are, our kids are not going pro. Isn't it funny how different kids are? I'll tell you this story. Kids played soccer this fall. I don't have time for it, but I do. Kids played soccer this fall. And my older two's team, they were on the same team. They went to the championship game. They did not win the championship game. It wasn't particularly close. One of my children was devastated. They got a little medal for being second place, and their response was, I never want anybody to see this second place trophy. I don't ever want anybody to see it. I hate second place. I hate it so much. And the other one was like, can I take it to school and use it for show and tell tomorrow? Totally different. Totally different. There's so much that can fail in this life, but here's the thing. We are no fool to give ourselves to that which God has promised to bless and advance, because God's will done God's way cannot fail. Church, what are we living for? What are we living for? What are we living for? His mission or our own? Be strong in His mission. Oh, what do we need to do, church? Number one, we need to be strong in His mission. But I want you to see this. Look at verses 5 and 6. The Lord continues. He says, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance, which I swear unto their fathers. Verse number 5. We'll go there first. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Joshua here was commanded to, number one, be strong in God's mission. Joshua was then commanded, number two, to be strong in God's might. To be strong in God's might. You see, not only will God's plan not fail, but God's power will not falter. And Joshua was reminded that no man would be able to stand against him. Not any of the ites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, the Amalekites, and any other word you want to make up with ite on the front of it. Joshua was reminded that no man would be able to stand against him. The reason Joshua would be undaunted by even the greatest of enemies was not because of who he was. It wasn't Joshua who was great and powerful. It wasn't because of Joshua's military strategy. It wasn't because of Joshua's military experience. It wasn't because of the weaponry that they had developed over the years. The reason that Joshua and Israel would be undaunted by even the greatest of enemies was because of God's power and God's presence, period. Joshua had to learn that living victoriously was not his responsibility, but rather it was to be his response to God's ability. You see, in our lives, for us to be strong and courageous, be strong in His mission, to be strong in His might, living victoriously is not our responsibility. I don't have to win the victory because He's already won. And so living victoriously is not my responsibility. Rather, it is my response to His ability. You see, means and methods change, but God's might does not. You remember what He said in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse number 6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And what you find as you study the book of Joshua is you find that it was not Joshua's power that won the victories. I love the summary given in Psalm 44 beginning in verse number 3. It says, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword. Neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. Thou art King, O God, command deliverances for Jacob. Look what it says. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. Oh, Psalm 20, beginning in verse 6, a similar sentiment. Now know that I, the Lord, saveth his anointed, and he will hear him from his holy heaven, the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. You see, church, for Joshua, it wasn't his might, it was God's might. And for you and I today, it is not our might, but it is his might. The promise is extended to us, Romans 8, 31 and 32. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And church, how we need to run, how we need to rest in the power and presence of God. And you think about the book of Joshua and all that Joshua had in front of him, he would have missed if he had not been strong in the power of God. How God parted the Jordan River and let Israel walk across on dry ground. How God tumbled the walls of Jericho. How the Lord even made the sun to stand still. He would have missed that had he not been strong in God's power. Christians, hear me today. It is never assumed in Scripture that we have to fail. You know, often it's assumed in our hearts that we have to fail. But it is never assumed in Scripture that we have to fail. Rather, it is always assumed in Scripture that we have the opportunity, the liberty, the life to triumph in Christ. You know, to consider God's might, God pointed Joshua back to his faithfulness to Moses. You consider the life of Moses. You consider the faithfulness of God to Moses. And you recognize time and time and time again that God had not failed Moses. And God, as he had not failed Moses, promised that he would not fail Joshua. You know, it's good for us, isn't it, to stop and remind ourselves about what God has done? How many of us can look back on our lives and say, praise the Lord for what he has done in these different situations in our lives. Praise the Lord for answered prayer. Praise the Lord for deliverance. Praise the Lord for the way he moved and worked in our lives. It's good for us to stop and remind ourselves all that God has done. But understanding in this that the past is not an anchor to weigh us down. The past is a rudder to guide us forward. Church, hear me. God did not fail Moses, and God did not fail Joshua, and God will not fail you. God will not fail you. And this promise of the presence and power of God is even more so for you and I today. For you see, in the Old Testament, God's presence would come upon the Old Testament saint. But for you and I in the New Testament who know the Lord Jesus Christ, his presence doesn't come upon us. His Spirit dwells within us. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Be strong. Be strong in his might. So church, we see here with Joshua and we see in our lives, what number one, we need to be strong in what? Be strong in his mission. We see number two, we need to be strong in his might. Let me show you the last one and we'll be done. Beginning verse number 7. God again says, only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Oh, we're commanded to be strong in his mission. We're commanded to be strong in his might. And finally, the Lord commands Joshua and you and I today to be strong in his methods. You know, this is the only time, the one time in the King James Bible that the word success is found. Joshua 1 in verse number 8. You know, God defines success differently than you and I do. We often define success by outcomes. How did it turn out? How many kids came to the program? How did the relationship turn out? How many people got saved from that day's soul winning? Or how many people came to church the next day? We define success almost solely by outcomes. But God defines success a little bit differently. You see, God defines success not so much by outcomes, but by obedience. God defines success not so much by our measurements, but by his methods. What were the methods that God had given that would provide success in God's sight? Number one, he called Joshua to have a singular focus. Joshua here is instructed to have his focus firmly set on the commandments, the law that God had given through Moses. And verse number 7, he says, turn not from it to the right hand, turn not from it to the left hand, but keep your eyes focused on the law and the commandments. To sum it up, no distractions. To sum it up, no detours. To sum it up, be faithful. Be faithful to God's word. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Hey, church, that's still God's method for you and I today. Be faithful. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. When the Lord judges us, as he gave the examples in Matthew 25, he judges us on the reality that we want him to be able to say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Be faithful. No distractions, no detours, singular focus. Be faithful. You know, in our churches today, we don't have a ton of people running around overtly chasing the devil. But we do have a lot of people running around who get easily distracted. You know, it's the old adage where you're having the conversation and, oh, look, a squirrel. And you're easily distracted from the things of God. Because there is so much in this world that beckons us to look. There's so much in this world that beckons us to linger. Boy, you think about the amount of time we have spent talking about politics. I mean, everywhere you go, somebody wants to talk about something to do with politics. You think about the amount of time we spend talking about sports. And they always let you down, Blair. They always do. And you need to know that. When it comes to the Cleveland Browns, hope is a dangerous thing. Think about the amount of time we put into certain relationships, that we think about money, that we think about health. And you know, all these things in life, it's not that we can't engage and it's not that we can't enjoy. We should engage in the things of our world. We should be engaged in the political process. We should be able to enjoy hobbies and leisure activities. We should be able to work on relationships and be wise stewards with our money and be good stewards of our health. It's not that we can't engage and we can't enjoy, but the reality is that everything in our lives needs to be filtered through our singular focus and not steal our focus away. God's method is that we be faithful, because God's will done God's way, church, never fails. It never fails. You know, many times as pastor, I hear the phrase, I tried that. You know, perhaps it's in the context of reading and studying the Bible. Well, I tried that. Perhaps it's in the context of parenting a child. Well, I tried that. Perhaps it's in the context of money things. Well, we've tried that. Perhaps it's in the marriage relationship. Well, we tried that. And you know, so often we think because we do it for a day or two, or even for a week or two, or even for a month or two, that we've put in our time, we have tried it, and then if it doesn't work out all the time our way after 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, that we are then free to try to figure it out on our own. Church, hear me. Anytime we come to God's word and we think, well, I tried that, fruitfulness in God's word is always tied to faithfulness. Fruitfulness is tied to faithfulness. Fruitfulness is tied to faithfulness. In other words, what? It's not just trying it for 2 weeks. It's not just trying it for 2 months. It's not even just trying it for a year. It is simply saying to ourselves that I'm not going to look to the right hand and I'm not going to look to the left hand because God has very clearly laid the path in front of me, and I just have to be faithful because fruitfulness is tied to faithfulness. It's kind of like the first summer we did a garden, and we did tomatoes in the garden, or we tried to do tomatoes in the garden, because every time the tiniest of green tomato would appear on the vine, my tiny little children would get excited and pluck it off. Would get excited and pluck it off. Mommy, mommy, a tomato. Well, kind of, but not really what we're going for. You see, many times it takes time for the fruit to develop and ripen. And I'm going to tell you, it's easy to get discouraged. And it's easy to say, you know what, I am struggling with this parenting thing. And I am struggling with this ministry thing. And I'm struggling with this marriage thing. And I'm struggling with this money thing. And I'm struggling with this stewardship thing in my life. But hear me, hear me, hear me. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Just be faithful. Because fruitfulness comes with faithfulness. Stay at it. Don't get distracted. No detours. Singular focus. Be faithful. Mom and dad is be faithful. Sunday school teachers, be faithful. Musicians, be faithful. Are you leaders, be faithful. Be faithful, be faithful, be faithful. Bus workers, be faithful. Just be faithful, church. A singular focus. Oh, and a surrendered faith. You see, in verse number 8, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Oh, that idea of meditate, it's like we soak it up like a sponge, and we take it with us, and it just kind of oozes out of us, and it's left on our tongue and in our lips, and we meditate on it. But notice what it says. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, not just when it's on our tongue, and not just when we meditate and soak it into our heart, but when we allow it to become a part of our lives, when it is put into practice, all of these things together, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God's word in our hearts, God's word put into practice, because there is nothing that strengthens our faith like hearing and heeding God's word. Tell you the thing about God's word. Hey, I want greater light in my life. I want greater understanding in my life. But greater light is not reserved for those who just focus on Scripture, but for those who focus on it and follow it. You see, greater blessing in life is not just reserved for those who open their Bible. It is reserved for those who open their Bible and then obey it. The Bible, biblical living is blessable living. I love what the psalmist said, Psalm 1, very familiar psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But look at this blessed man. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. What is this blessing like? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Oh, I love how James put it in James 1 in verse number 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be what, church? This man shall be what? This man shall be what? Blessed in his deed. Biblical living is blessable living, but here's where the rubber meets the road. It's amazing to me how much of our lives we live without consulting the Word of God. I didn't even think about how we did church today. Did we consult God's Word about how we ought to come to church? About what our hearts should be as we walk through those doors? Have we consulted the Word of God about whether or not we should come back tonight? I think about, we've talked about relationships. We've talked about child rearing. We've talked about monies. We've talked about hobbies. You know, we even bring up the politics and COVID response. So much of this just takes over our lives. But how much of it do we consciously, purposefully surrender to the clear teachings of God's Word? You see, biblical living is blessable living, but biblical living doesn't happen by accident. Biblical living comes when we surrender ourselves to God's revelation to us. And oh, there are such broad portions of our life that we just figure it's life, but every aspect of our life ought to be biblical living. That is the path to success. To let the Bible speak and guide in every avenue of our life. Because in here, God hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And here is what you need. You know, I think about this. One of the youth events we went to, I saw an illustration that I will never forget. They blindfolded one kid. And they stuck him outside the room. Once the kid was outside the room, they made this like maze. And they put five people at different parts of the maze, and each one of them had something different. One of them had a $20 bill. One of them had like a raw onion. One of them had a bag of trash. You know, there was one good thing and four very not so good things. And they let that blindfold young man come in, and he entered into the maze, and all five of them started yelling instructions at once. Hey, come here, go forward, go back, go to the left, go to the right. I've got what you need. Boy, if you come to me, you won't leave here empty-handed. Boy, I've got the biggest thing here. Come to me, come to me. And you know, blindfolded, he's trying to take it all in. And the first time through the maze, he ended up with a bag of trash. Not what he really wanted. And so the speaker said, you know what, we're going to do it a second time, and we're going to do it a little bit differently. This time, I want you to know that so-and-so has the $20 bill. Everybody else has garbage. So-and-so has what you want. And so the young man went outside, they remade the whole thing, and everybody mixed up in different areas, and the young man came back in, and again, everybody started shouting instructions. Come here, go there, right, left, front, back, I've got it, no, I've got it, I've got it. But you see, this time he walked away with a $20 bill. Why? Because he knew the one voice, the one voice, the one voice that he was supposed to be listening for. He knew the one voice that would allow him to walk out with the blessings that he desired. And when he knew that voice, he was able to follow that voice in spite of the chaos around him. Church, there is chaos around us. Everybody is screaming about everything. And it is so easy to get distracted, and it is so easy to get pulled aside, and it's so easy to get depressed and downcast and to think we're not making a difference and it doesn't matter. But church, if we can get keyed into the one voice that allow us to live a blessed life and to know Him and to follow Him, it'll make all the difference in the world. You see, God's mission can't fail. You see, God's might, His power can't fail. You see, God's methods, they don't fade. They don't fail. They don't fail. And all of this is available to us, except there is a contingency on our part, and we see it in verse 6, and we see it in verse 7, and we see it in verse 9. And I want you to see it in verse 9. The Lord here pins Joshua and calls Joshua to a decision. Have not I commanded thee? What is it, church? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So you know what God calls us this morning? God calls us to be strong. To be strong in our church, to be strong in our work, to be strong in our marriages, to be strong in our parenting, to be strong in our community, to be strong in His mission, to be strong in His might, to be strong in His methods, because God's will done God's way never fails. It never does. So church, let's be strong.